Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. The topic, the message that we're going to consider this evening is taken from John 11, verses 1 to 10, which we have just read. And the title is, Are You Walking in the Night? Are you walking in the night? I believe here in Singapore it's difficult for us to understand what it means to walk in the night. Because even if you walk at midnight, you still have street lights. So lighten the streets and all the pathways. You'll never experience what it means really to be in darkness. But if you have gone through some third world countries where even the streets, roads have no lights, you have experienced that indeed it is fearful to walk in the night without any light. You don't know where you go, you don't know what's the direction, you don't know where you are. Sometimes really it's hard to move on because you are not sure where you have to step on, as it is too dark for you to walk. And some of you have experienced this, probably when you have gone through these third world countries. I was once during our trip to Israel, and we went to Egypt, going up to Mount Sinai. And we had to leave the place, the hotel, the camp, at around 12 or 1 early in the morning. And we had to walk up to Mount Sinai. And it was really very dark. You just have to rely on guides. You just have to rely on those who will lead you up to that mountain. You have to listen well to the words, so that you know where they are and you know where is the direction. That is really hard to walk, hard to move, as you don't know exactly the place where you are going. It's hard to walk in the night, to walk in darkness. And that's what we are going to look at this evening. Ask ourselves, are we walking in the night? And we are talking of a night that is pitch dark, night that is really difficult for you to acknowledge people around you, to know where is the path going, to know where is the place that you are directed to go. It's so dark. And I pray that is the darkness, that the night that we are imagining, it is not a night that you experience here in this city where you have still the lights and it seems that even during the night it is still bright. Here in this passage we have the account of one of the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ, but this is the climax. This is the miracle that He did even before when He went to the cross. And it's a miracle that showed how He is truly God, how He raised up Lazarus from the dead. And it was not just raising up because few hours or a few days, he was supposed to be returned at this very hour, at this very day, yet the Lord Jesus Christ, by His power, raised up this man, Lazarus, and showed how He has the power to raise up those who are dead, giving us the hope of life eternal with Him. Hope of resurrection. Even from the dead, resurrection that we look forward when the Lord Jesus Christ will come. But before that, we have this account from verses 1 to 10. And this is our consideration because we want to look at how we should walk in the light, not in the night. And here we have John, the apostle, describing us the disciples. And he was one of them, was here in this time, and he described what it means to walk in darkness. Walk in the night. Walking without knowledge of what they're going to do. Walking without discernment, understanding of what really is going to happen. Walking without any guidance and leading from God. And so in this account, the Lord Jesus Christ was far from Jerusalem. Bethany was a place which was just maybe a few miles from Jerusalem. And it is described in verse 40 of chapter 10 that Jesus, he says here, went away beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And it could be in the place Bethabara, which is a place which John the Baptist used. And it was probably a day's journey towards Bethany. And so the story is, or the account was, that the Lord Jesus Christ was there. And there was a man who probably, when he left Bethany, Lazarus was still alive, but he was sick. And could be that after he left, Lazarus died. And when he arrived there, he told the Lord Jesus Christ that this Lazarus was sick. And in fact, here it was highlighted that this Lazarus was the brother of Mary and Martha, two women who ministered the Lord Jesus Christ every time he went to Jerusalem. Jesus was very close to Mary and Martha. Every time he goes there, he would always pass by the house of these sisters, and their brother Lazarus was sick. And therefore, this man told and highlighted to the Lord Jesus Christ that this Lazarus was your good friend, and also the brother of your close friends, Mary and Martha, was sick. And therefore, it is good for you, it is better for you to go to to Bethany, to visit Lazarus. Could be that they were expecting that the Lord Jesus Christ would heal him, revive him, cause him to recover, and would not die. But here the Lord Jesus Christ told the apostles, the disciples who were with him, he says, this sickness is not unto death. Well, we have mentioned a while ago that probably he died when this messenger left Bethany towards the other side of Jordan. But Jesus himself said this was not unto death. As we know, he caused this man to rise from the dead. And it was meant for this man to suffer that sickness and to die for a certain period of time for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And that was why the Lord Jesus Christ decided that he would abide 2 days still in the same place. He did not rush to go to Bethany. He did not rush to immediately minister to Lazarus and heal him. And here we have a first thing that we have to recognize and understand if we are truly walking in the light, or are we walking in the night? We are walking in the night if we will be addressing, responding, driven, all by the circumstances of life. As we see here, the circumstance was that Lazarus needed some help. Lazarus needed the Lord Jesus Christ. If Jesus immediately went, he could have caused Lazarus to recover, or at least raise him from the dead that very next day. The circumstance needed Jesus to go. And this was also what Mary and Martha were expecting. They needed Jesus. The circumstances requires the Lord Jesus Christ to come and attend to the need of their brother. Circumstances. These are things that we immediately respond to in life. We immediately act on things that happen without even coming to God in prayer, without even considering what is really the best thing to do. Of course, there are things that we need to respond immediately. There are emergencies that we need not even to just to think whether we have to bring this man to the hospital or not. There are things that are practically or immediately needs or in an emergency that we need to act on. Those who are sick, those who have accident, we need to immediately do something. And while we are doing something, we are praying. I remember this story of two men who went to the forest, and when they were there, somehow at the distance they saw a bear that was coming to their direction also. And so these two brothers, the Christians, they started to run. And the other believer, the other Christian says, "Brother, we have to stop and pray." Well, the other said, "No, brother, we have to run and pray." Of course, that's the response. That should be the circumstance. That's your immediate reaction. You don't have to stop and kneel down and pray. The bear is coming. You better have to run. And while running, you have to pray. Circumstances. But there are circumstances in life that we come and encounter that we base our actions, our decisions in life on these things. Things that we adopt, things that we embrace, things that we act on passively without asking God, without referring to the Bible, without seeking the Lord's guidance and counsel, without the light of God's Word. That's why we are walking in the night. We are walking in darkness. We think we are in the right path. We think we are in the right direction. We think we are in the right road, but it is not because we do not seek God's counsel and guidance. We are walking according to just the circumstances around. And this was the thought, what was in the mind, probably of these sisters who just want Jesus to come. But Jesus knew he has to do something far above the circumstances that happen. It is not because Lazarus needed somebody to heal him. He experienced this kind of sickness unto death because God has to reveal the glory through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is his power to raise up even a rotten body into life in the person of Lazarus. Are we walking in the night? Are we walking just because of circumstances that we met in life? Are we walking just because of things that happen, events that happen in our life? It is good to ask ourselves, are we referring to God's Word? Are we praying? Are we seeking God's counsel? Or are we just responding passively on every event and everything that happened in our lives? The next thing here that John the Apostle wanted us to know also what it means to walk in the light and not walking in the night was when he highlighted the fear of these disciples. When the Lord Jesus Christ realized, or here he now with his, of course, his omniscience, knew that it was the time for him to go back. He abode 2 days still in the same place, and then he has to go to Bethany to visit Lazarus. Then these disciples, or he told his disciples, let us go into Judea again. We have to go. It's now the time to go. 2 days passed, it was not yet. Circumstances requires us to go, but that was not God's will. Now it is God's will for us to go. But his disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And this is something that we have also to consider. We are walking in the night. We are not walking under God's light or in the light. If we are driven, if we are dictated by consequences in life. Now we can understand that indeed the consequence is bad. They could face persecution, they could face stoning. We know that in chapter 10, even in verse 20 and 21, the Jews already have this bad impression of the Lord Jesus Christ. He called them having a devil. He says here in verse 20, and many of them said, he has a devil and he's mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that had a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? There was a division. But many of them considered Jesus as having this devilish spirit. And that's why we see also that in verse 31, they attempted even to stone the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 10, verse 31, after that Jesus declared, I and my Father are one, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. So the reason the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ were reasonable when they say, no, the consequence is not for us. It's not favorable to us. If we go, they hated us. They think that you have a devil. And then if we go, they might stone you and might also stone us. The consequence. What will be the aftermath? What will be the result? What will be the outcome? These are the things that dictates also our decisions. We don't bother to ask God. We don't bother to pray. We don't bother to pray and seek for the counsels of our leaders. We just decide by our own if we think this will probably result to something bad. This will probably result to something that is even worse. And so we decide according to the consequences. In fact, here in verse 39, we can understand how they sought again to take him. And the idea of taking him is really to murder him, to kill him. But the Lord Jesus Christ escaped out of their hand. So the reality of the threat was there. The reality of the evil, bad consequence was there. And they based the decision, we should not go, Master. We should not go, Lord, because they sought to stone thee. And could also even risk our lives of being stoned as we are with you. Are you going there again? These are real. These are genuine things in life that we come daily. And that is usually the things that we weigh. If I do this, what will happen? If I do this option A, what will happen? If I will have this option B, then what will be the outcome? We think of that. We base on things on what we think of the result of our actions. We don't ask God. We don't seek God's help. We don't go to the Scriptures and seek God's will. We may go to the Scriptures, but we have some words to look and desire to find in order to prove that we are right. Consequences. These are realities in life that we use in our decisions. Circumstances cause us to be alarmed, cause us to be warned, and we respond according to the events in life. But consequences also, because we look forward. What if we do this 3 years after? What will be the result? What if this will happen? If we go to this, if I transfer to this work, or I will invest on this, or I will go to these missions, or we will have this kind of ministry. We are dependent on what will be the outcome. Of course, we have to. We have to consider what will be the result, but it must be grounded on God's word. When the Lord Jesus Christ tells us, go and teach all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world. In the Great Commission, he was not saying, go and teach, and if you have this number, go and teach, and if you have these churches, go and teach, and if you have this, people will come, and they will welcome you. There was no consequence that was given. You have to go. Why? This is God's command. This is God's commission for you. You have to go. Whether you have one soul or five souls or 100 souls, you have to go. That was the commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not after the consequence. And that is the problem with our missions today. Just a bit of adding to this, because there are many people now who base their missions work on research. Missions work on which country must be the nations or places that need so much mission or need the missionaries. And that's why they have this 1040 window. Okay, these are the places on earth where they have all the poor people. They have not heard of Jesus Christ, and they will be the one who will respond. Those, you know, rich countries, they have all the possibility of hearing the name of Jesus. You don't need to go to these places. But that is not what the consideration of the Great Commission. You have to go wherever the Lord will lead. Just like what Apostle Paul thought, I must go east because there might be some Jews or more Jews there, or synagogues he can visit. But the Lord, by the Spirit of God, led him to the west. And when he arrived in Philippi, you'll notice that there was only one soul saved in Lydia. He could have asked, Lord, if I have gone through to the east, then I could have more and more souls to evangelize. You brought me here in Philippi, one soul, and then you put me into the jail and save one Philippian jailer. But it resulted to the salvation of his own household. And so we see that consequence, yes, we have to think of this, we have to consider that, but the matter that weighs most, that is far heavier than the consequence, is the Word of God. The light of God's Word. The light of God's command. The light of God's direction. And the very presence of God in our walk. So we should not base everything on circumstances, on consequence. One thing that we have here in verses 9 and 10 is when Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. The light of this world. Well, we could literally say that this could be the sun, but we know that it is figuratively saying he is with them, he was with them, he's the light of the world. We know that in John chapter 8. Let me just read to you verse 12 onwards. John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And the Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. And he continues on to describe that he is indeed the light of this world in many places of the scriptures, as he declared that he is indeed one who gives us the direction. And when he says also that we are the light of the world, even as we reflect him, and we also understand in the scriptures that the word of God is the light, is the lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The word of God, the Son of God, is our light. And that's why here in verses 9 and 10, just this third point would be when we are driven by Christlessness. I would say Christless because now, was able to recall one book that I used to in one of my theses, and I forgot to read everything. I just read a chapter or two for the sake of my work. But this work was in 2009. I used it in 2015, and I think it is even more applicable or more of a description of what is Christianity today, not just in America, but even in the whole world. Christless Christianity. Can you imagine a Christianity without Christ? But this book claims that in America, in those days, in those years, 2009, I was researching on the hedonistic Christianity of John Piper, which is the more on having the delight and the doctrine that God is glorified when man is satisfied, fully satisfied in him. That's the doctrine that he holds on. And that's Christless Christianity, because they have a Christianity that is, as he describes here, is just a moralistic and therapeutic deism. It's just Christianity that would make people morally upright and be emotionally stable, but without the salvation of their souls. In fact, he quoted here one of the well-known illustration of Donald Gray Brown, a Barnhouse, of a scenario. He says, if Satan took upon Philadelphia by its name is supposed to be a very, very good place. Is the love for brethren, fellow, love, Adelphos, love for brethren. But he says that of all states in America, Philadelphia now is one of the worst, where even Dr. Koo, our principal, says you don't have to, even if there is stoplight during the night, you don't have to stop. There will be some people who just come and break windows of your cars and do things against you. Philadelphia. It was in this place that a certain woman was raped several times because he was supposedly to be saved, and then after that the one who saved her also again did that evil unto her. Philadelphia. And Donald Gray Barnhouse described, he says, if Satan took over Philadelphia, all of the bars would be closed. Pornography banished, and pristine streets would be filled with tidy pedestrians who smiled at each other. There would be no swearing. The children would say, yes, sir, and no, ma'am. And the churches would be full every Sunday. where Christ is not preached. Where Christ is not preached. It would be a morally, socially, probably we can say that they are in the behavior upright, but without Christ. And that is what is promoted today in Christianity. And I pray it would, of course, we know that later would influence also some of the churches, not only in the Western countries, but even in us in Asia. And this is happening in our own country, in the Philippines. We always have that saying, when America sneezes, the Filipinos got or gets cold. We easily embrace and take what they have. And that's how this Christless Christianity, and if we are walking our lives without Christ, we may be trying to behave well. We may be trying to do things for the society. We are recovering morally. We are trying to please everybody. We are trying to care for one another socially. But without the Lord Jesus Christ, we are walking in the night. We have no hope. We don't have heaven. We don't have eternal life. It could be a very wonderful place here on earth, but you'll end up in hell. That's the walk in the night. If we are driven by circumstances, if we are driven by consequences, and we are driven by Christlessness, where we just use the Bible as something that is a book, a good book that will suggest us of what it means to be positive, what it means to be have self-esteem, what it means to be satisfied, what it means to be happy, what it means to be entertained, what it means to be healthy. And that's what most people today considers of the scriptures. We have to walk in the light. And walking in the light is to understand that it is not just circumstances, consequences, but it must be Christ-centered, word-centered walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that in how Peter was responding to the Lord Jesus in the things that it happened or happened when he was with the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember that when Jesus was brought into the, or was taken by some soldiers, he tried to fight. Circumstances caused him to take a sword and drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. He responded immediately to the circumstance, and he fought. And the Lord Jesus Christ told him, "Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it?" We also see in how he responded based on consequence. In Matthew chapter 16, this is familiar to many of us, when the Lord Jesus Christ described himself or was now looking forward to be executed. Here in verse 21 of Matthew 16, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed." The consequence, death, yet he be raised again the third day. What did Peter say? Peter took him and began to rebuke him. A disciple, an apostle, who rebuked his own Lord, the omniscient God. He says, "Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." He was walking in the night. He did not see the purposes of God. He was just basing on the consequence that will come out when the Lord Jesus Christ will go to Jerusalem. But what did Jesus told Peter? Get thee behind me, Satan. You are in darkness. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. And in John 21, we see here also how Peter responded in a Christless manner. When he was supposed to remember the call of the Lord Jesus Christ in his life, when the Lord Jesus was resurrected, he saw him, he knew what was his calling, but later failed when he led the rest of the disciples. In verse 2, he said, there were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. And look at verse 3 of chapter 21, John 21, verse 3. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. The call was for him to be fishers of men. But he went back to be a fisherman or a fisherman. They say unto him, we also go with thee. Christless respond, walking in darkness, walking in the night, walking without the light of God's word, walking without the leading and guidance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so also this happens in our lives. I remember when the Lord called me to full-time study, I did also walk in the night. I base things on circumstances. Lord, you have given me this privilege to study, and after that there are some post-studies that you have given me, fellowships. And I have studied long in this profession, and it has given me a lot of opportunities. I think this is to go to the Bible college is not really the purpose or your plan for me. If you wanted me to go, then you should have not given me these circumstances, this success, these seemingly good things in life. And so I delayed. I deferred because I thought, well, that is not the way. God has given me so much opportunities in my profession. And then the consequence. Lord, if I will go and leave my profession, leave my work, leave my job, then what will be the outcome? I cannot feed my children. I cannot let them go to school. Where should we go? Where should we stay? What will be our life? We'll be hungered. We'll be in poverty. No one will provide for us. Consequence. And that's why I said, no, Lord. Probably that is just something that burdens my heart to serve, but not truly to go into a Bible college and to go into full-time ministry. The consequence is so dark, so gloomy, I don't want to face it. And so I worked hard in my Christless life, went into doing all the things that was expected of me, to do research until the Lord stopped me. When I had that car accident. Well, that was in the Philippines, we don't usually, I think our brothers here would experience, we don't usually wear or use the seat belts. We don't have seat belts in our jeepneys and others. Well, that was a car that was in our project. It has a seat belt, but it was very hard to pull because it was not used since day one. But somehow, I was so sleepy. I think of sleeping while on travel, and then I just pulled it hardly. And indeed, I woke up with the driver, almost killed, students up there at the back, injured, but I got no any scratch. And I said, Lord, I think this is it. I don't want to die just doing my research, just doing all these things. He gave me the light. He granted me to see what it means to walk in darkness. I was walking in darkness. I was denying His call. I was trying to just base it in circumstances, consequences, and in a life without Christ. If we truly live or walk in the light, we constantly refer back to the Word of God to seek for guidance, for leading, that we may know what is the will of God in our lives. Circumstances may not be for us. The consequence may be so dark and may be against us. But if God says it is the way, then we have to go and follow that path because it is the path that is with the light of God's Word. When God gives the green light, we better go and do it because it is He who will lighten the path through His Word, who is the lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, He will not leave us in the dark. We know where we are going. We may think we are in the light. We may think we know where we are going because we know everything. Circumstances is for us. It's in our favor. Consequences we think it is better, it's good. The future shows us a good harvest. But if we are not basing our decision on God's Word and under the direction of the Spirit of God, with the Lord Jesus Christ with us, we are walking in darkness. And when you are walking in darkness, mind you, it's not easy. You don't know where you turn to. You don't know where to step on. You don't know who are with you. You don't know what to do. You may not understand what it means to walk in the night. You can try by just turning off all the lights in your house and just to try to walk around. At least you can experience what it means to be in the darkness so that you will feel and understand what it means to walk without God's leading. It is by the Word of God. And I pray that every decision that we will do, every direction that we will go, and everything that we have in life is based on what God wants us to do. If we are not, we may be claiming, professing, confessing as Christians, but we are walking in the night. We are walking in darkness. You don't know where you go. Let us come to the light and let us come to God's Word. Let us rely on Him always, and let us obey Him. That is how to walk, not in the night, but to walk in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this evening. We thank You for Thy Word. Thank You, Lord, for how You have shown us that indeed we cannot even step forward without Thee telling us what to do, where to go. We pray, Father, that You will help us, for we know not our own directions, but we know that Thou art indeed our omniscient Lord, who knows everything, even the years ahead of us. So, Father, be with us, help us, and grant us, O Lord, the eyes, the spiritual eyes, that discernment, even the mind of Christ, to know what is Thy will upon our lives, to know what You want us in as we walk with Thee. So, Father, forgive us cleanse us, again, wash us. Many times in our lives we just do our own thing. We walk by sight and not by faith. We walk by the things around us, not by who or what you have shown us. And so, Father, help us. May we all walk in the light and not in the night. We pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.